Let's begin with a word of prayer. Are you okay to pray, Steve?
I'll pray.
Go for it then, brother.
Blessed Father, we give thanks to you, Father, for being able to have the privilege of being able to come together, Lord, in your presence as we always do. And be able to come together in fellowship with you and with each other. Without having to fear of looking over our shoulders and getting arrested or beaten or worse, killed. I ask, Lord, for those who do get beaten and killed and persecuted for worshiping you, Father. All those around the world, Lord, please, Lord, hear their cries as you did for your children when they were in Egypt crying up to you, Father. Hear their cries, Lord, and help them, comfort them. Like those who are working on the front line for you, Lord, getting scriptures, Lord, guide them and grant them their needs according to thy holy will, Father. So that those in need will be fulfilled. And Lord, I ask, Lord, you just remind them that you're with them, Father, through all their troubles, and then give them the strength that they need to get through the tribulations. I ask, too, for Israel as well, Father, that you bless Israel, especially at this time, Lord, and all these things that are happening, Lord, and pestilences, the famine, all the rubbish that's going around in the world, Lord, this COVID business. Lord, please be with your children, Israel. Help them, guide them, keep them safe. Bless them, Father. And Lord, let's keep in our heart's desire, Lord, that you will save souls, Lord. I ask too, Lord, if you will bless those who are not with us this night. Christine Mitchie, Elin Yang. Lord, Dr. Shine, Frank, Lord Esther, too. And not forgetting Leonard Kearns as well. And Christopher Taylor, and Christopher and Taylor. Lord, please be with them too, Lord. Bless them and keep them safe wherever they are, wherever the journey is back and through from. And may have a good restful time, Father. Please bring them back safe at the appointed time. Bless the remainder of this service and let the singing of the songs and the offerings of praise up to you, Lord, be acceptable. Lord, that you would just bless us now. In your precious name, please, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Right, I'm going to put my glasses on so I can actually read the words from the heavens. All right, number 27, that's what it's all about. Let's turn to the old rugged cross in the big hymn books, number 27. Let's make a joyful song.
Yes. Amen to that.
Oh,
skip to the back end of the Bible, or at least as far as our hymns are concerned tonight, 345. We'll sing Breathe on Me, 345. Thank you.
El boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle, their carriages were heaven loaden, they are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down to God, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire goldsmith, and they make it for the god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, and set him in his place, and he standeth from his place, shall he not remove? Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. For remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness, it shall not be afar off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in the Zion for Israel, my glory. Amen.
Amen.
Good verses there. I think that's the reason why a lot of people don't like to worship God, because he can't be pushed around. They would rather worship their false gods and idols, where they can set them just exactly where they want them to be, and they don't want them to see or hear anything. You put them in another room. But amen, God's good, and he'll forgive. The only thing that the Lord will not forgive is not getting saved, is rejecting the free gift of eternal life. Everything else can be forgiven. Amen. Thank you for that reading. Just in Isaiah myself. And I appreciate the reading. Thank you everyone that does the Bible readings. That's Norman and Steve and Will. Not only is it nice to sit down and enjoy the Bible getting read to you, it's always good to hear from different parts of the Bible. For many times I have heard a verse that I've been trying to bring to my attention again, and then all of a sudden someone will bring it as part of the Bible reading. I think that's just cool. But amen. Mm. Pumpkin flavored prayer list. If anybody has anything they would like to add to that, now would be a good time to stick your hand up. Will mentioned his Aunt Fiona, and she was in today, and is going in this coming week for
Tuesday for a bone scan.
Bone scan. That's William's mom that we're talking about. So please do pray for Will's Aunt Fiona, William's mom. Kidney tests and bone tests up in Altmagelvin. So, please do think on that. Yes, Steve.
Few of the families of that 12-year-old girl that was stabbed to death by three teenagers.
I heard about that.
It was a vicious attack provoked by, and it's on the knives attacks are growing on the streets of England. It's getting worse. Please pray that God puts a stumbling block before this terrible thing that's happening.
Yep. Please do pray. We know very well that banning knives is not going to solve that problem, just like banning guns in America has not stopped gun crime. Just in the same way it hasn't stopped gun crime in this country either. But getting the Lord Jesus Christ into people's lives is the one thing. You can take and use explosives to dig holes in mountains, or you can blow people's lives to smithereens. It's all in what's going up there in the head. So please do pray. It's like the doctor asking you, do you have a headache, or have you got swollen glands? It's like a diagnosis of what's really wrong, and that's what these things are. That's awful. But that's almost Jamie Bulger like there. So yeah, please do pray for that family. Did they get the wee fellas that did it?
Yes, they did.
Did they try the ones that killed Jamie Bulger as adults? Didn't they? No.
They tried to put them through juvenile, but And then they came of age and put them into the big prisons. And released them and kept them secret. Yeah.
I'm upset about that. They need prayed for it too. But anyway.
The other thing is my reminder to you of the community fund.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much.
I shall keep
it coming. Keep it coming.
I know you forget things.
Forget what?
I rest my case. There is something else, and I forgot about what you want to Please be with the Lamb family tomorrow. It's the funeral.
Right.
Keep them in your thoughts and prayers, please. Especially for Louise, who's close to Granny as well. I just pray that they think I'm going to return to this. I really do.
Yeah. Okie doke. Anybody else anymore? Okay.
How's the, we pray for a building and you and Norman.
Just keep praying.
Has everything been sorted now with the deeds and what have you?
That's in progress. We're just waiting for government agencies to, for the wheels to turn there. The solicitors have everything and they have our money, they have our insurance, they just need to get the government, whatever departments look after the changing over of names on deeds, they just need to get that done. So please, we'll continue to pray about that. Anything else? Are we all good? I have for private prayer, in fact, who has a private prayer request that they would like us to keep your hand up there just a second. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. You put your hands down. Does anybody have any thanks? Lord, done anything for anybody?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
I give thanks to the Lord again for Wednesday night. Was it Wednesday?
Last Sunday.
Yes. Again, I give thanks for all the prayers and the thoughts and
amen.
The help from God and for all the blessings that we've received, obviously.
Yes, indeed. I'm just continually thanking the Lord for answering people's prayers as they pray for us and keep the worst of the weather off of us. We'd like you to pray for it for a wee bit longer. We just have 3.5 more sheets to fix to the side of the church, and then it is, I was going to say, completely weatherproof, except for the wee bit of stuff that goes in between the panels. So that's where we're at right now. We would appreciate your prayers. We're aiming to have that done by the end of the week, and maybe one or two other jobs done as well. So please bear us in mind for strength and safety and weather, wisdom in figuring things out and getting things done. And the Lord has been very good in delivering, so we're thankful. We're thankful for all the helps in putting the walls up. We still have the roof needs a wee bit of a looking at just up in that corner. In fact, the whole way along, but we will get to that. I think that's about that, really. Anything else we need to be thinking about, praying about?
The people who was killed in England through the storm.
Yeah.
Let's claim a few lives. Don't know the names, obviously. Lord knows who they are. The families that are mourning from them.
Yep, do continue to pray for our country and our leaders. They certainly need a lot more than prayer, but the Lord just says to pray for them. He doesn't say to get their big boots on and go and find them and stick their toe up their rear end or cuff them on the ear. So pray for them. They certainly need a lot. They certainly need something. But please do pray for them. Right. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue on. If you would, Will, would you be okay to lead us?
Yes.
Thanks, Will.
Dear Father, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for bringing safety and security into you and your house tonight, Lord. May our worship and the service be kept on your side, Lord. May bless us and keep us, Lord, and provide for us, Lord. Give the services throughout the world, Lord, that are in progress or that went through before have yet to come, Lord. May you use the Spirit to come our loss, Lord, and show the backslider, and see souls mightily powerfully lay on our fly, Lord. We have the organization to be supported, Peace International, bless them, and Lord, open doors, Kitchener Schools, and Christian Institute, Lord, we're reaching every one of these organizations, the people there, take the traitors out of them, Lord, and save them, Lord, and save souls mightily powerfully. These organizations might be able to raise a standard to the world like Lord, and to save souls mightily by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, with the children of Tasmania, Lord, and Griffin, helping those families in that take part of the Lord, and save their souls, Lord, and guide them and protect them and bless them as well, Lord. With everything you've given us, Lord, and help us for the next coming week, Lord, guide us and protect us, Lord, and direct our paths, Lord, and Lord, help us in our service to thee, Lord. Grow us this night for thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ again, Amen.
Thanks, Will. All right, let's take our hymn books again. We'll turn and sing another one of our requests this evening. Hymn number. There we go. Hymn number 103. 103 in the big books. Under His Wings.
Amen.
209 is our closing hymn this evening. Thank you for that. If you would like to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark this evening, Mark chapter 2, that is where we will be taking our... Mark chapter 1, my apologies. That's where we'll be taking our reading from, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I'd like to spend a few minutes on the subject this evening of can and will. Can and will. A lot going on in this first chapter. We've already spent a little bit of time in it this past week. I'd like to begin reading. Just let me see. Verse number 32. And we'll read the last 12 or 13 or 14 verses. Verse number 32. Good to have each one of you here this evening. I know the old world, the flesh and the devil, has many calls upon our attention, but I am glad you took this time to spend it with us in the house of the Lord, and I pray that this evening will be a little bit of a help to you. Can and will is the title for our message. We're reading in Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse number 32. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him, that's Jesus, all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Amen. Verses number 40 and 41 are the texts that inspired the message this evening. I'd like to spend a little bit of time on can and will this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence and with the brethren, around your word, for the freedom that we have to lift up your praises. Lord, for the place that we've set aside to do so, for each and every soul that's, whose head is bowed in your presence, I pray you, Father, for your hand upon them. Lord, for private prayer requests to be answered for those, Lord, that are cast down or at a low physical ebb, Lord, to be restored. But most importantly, Lord, we pray for your will to be done, for souls to be saved. Lord, just thank you for your word and preserving it. Thank you for your precious promise that it would always be about for us. And Lord, please, I pray at this time, even now, in these last of the last days, that you would speak directly to men's hearts and that you would convict greatly and point them in the direction of the cross. Take and use us, Lord, in whatever parts of that you see fit and that are needed. Sharpen us, and increase our wisdom, Lord, and our strength and our wherewithal, and enable us, Lord. Please supply us our daily bread, spiritual and physical, Lord. And please let us make a point of walking and talking with you. We just love you and thank you, and pray your good hand upon each one of us, and for an opening of our understanding of the Scriptures this evening, even if it's not about Mark chapter 1, but Lord, please help us. We love you and praise you. We ask all this, of course, for private prayer requests, for Israel, Lord, for our leaders of our country. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I think we spent a little bit of time. The last time we were in Mark, was it Wednesday or was it last Sunday? Speaking on the immediacy, the rush, the implied rush, and I don't mean that rush as an adrenaline rush, but that haste that seems to be ingrained in the, especially in the first chapter of Mark, with so many references to words like immediately, forthwith, let's go, and so on, straightway, that's it. I didn't get very far before I got to thinking about these two verses, verses 40 and 41, and the difference between can and will, and how great it is to have them together. The Word of God says that as Jesus and the disciples were going about their business of preaching in the other towns, that there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou wilt, if you want, thou canst make me clean. And the Word of God records that Jesus was moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Even just that was a fulfillment we've been in Isaiah. This will be the third reference to Isaiah. We were in Isaiah this morning. We had a reading from Isaiah this evening. In Isaiah 53, it talked about this Messiah coming to take all our sicknesses and ailments from us upon himself. And I got to thinking about just exactly the way the Lord went through all of the things that he did in the Scriptures. We worship a great God, and I want for you to understand that even if my description of him or my whatever words that I use are maybe a bit limited, but we do worship a great God. And whenever God went about preparing his salvation for us, there was a lot to do. Now, we worship an infinite God as well, and there's nothing beyond his reach or his touch. There's nothing beyond his power. And so, whenever we think of the things, the lengths that God went to prepare us to receive him as Savior, I got to thinking about a few of those things. And I got to thinking about, well, Lord, could you work in the whole history of mankind and lay down examples of what you were going to come to do in Israel 2,000 years ago? Can you do that? And the answer is yes, he can do that. But will he do it? Would he do it? And again, the answer is yes. Just like his answer to the leper. It required an awful lot. Most of it required for men to be inspired, to see the reality of what God would do for them, the power that he gave and the peace in the hearts that he delivered. It required the Lord to leave heaven. Lord, I am sure, and I'm making this in my limited understanding, and our limited understanding, I can see our Heavenly Father speaking to his Son, our big brother, in the Spirit, Jesus Christ, and saying, Son, can you go down to earth? Could you go down to earth? Is it within your ability to go down to earth? To be born of a virgin, because we've already said way back in the Scriptures that you would be born of a virgin, that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Can you live amongst them for 33 years? Could you stick them for 33 years and speak to them and demonstrate to them that your God, through the miracles that many times are just repeats of miracles that have happened in the Old Testament that were directly attributed to God, could you do that? And the Lord said, yes, I can do that. Will you do it? And the Lord said, yes, I will. In the same way that he said to the leper, I will cleanse you. Well, then the father turned to his son again and he said, son, that's all well and good. But at the very end of those 33 years, there is a great task to be done. Can you give your life for each and every soul that is ever going to live? Can you take upon you, even at the cost of your own life, the sins of each and every person on the face of this world? And can you raise yourself from the dead again? And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, yes, I can do that. It's not going to be pleasant, and I'm not looking forward to it, and I wouldn't relish the thought of doing it, but I can do it. And I can almost see the Father saying, will you do it? And he said, Dad, because I love you and I want to obey you, but more importantly, because I love each and every one of them, I will do it. Because there is no other way for them to step out into an eternity with us, I will do it. Could the Lord make sure that his word will always be available to us in the face of this earth? Mm-hmm. I don't know what Bibles you have at home, but I could take and sit down with any, pretty much any English Bible, because my knowledge of other languages is a bit limited, and show you where all of those other Bibles have errors in them, make it difficult to be saved, make no space for you and God's family, and you can believe just about anything and still be baptized and think that you're okay. And that pretty much sums up and quotes Christianity today. So really what we need, because the most important thing, do you remember what when the Lord was up on the mountain and he had fed thousands of people, and then he started preaching the gospel, and a lot of people thought, whoa, we enjoyed the floor show, we enjoyed the bread, we enjoyed the fishes, we enjoyed the weather, but this preaching of the cross, it cuts a bit close to the knuckle. What we were saying about Will's reading earlier on, we rather like the God that lets us do whatever we want as long as we turn up in the synagogue, but this is a God that says, these are the rails upon that I have laid down for you to live your lives on, and so many of them walked away. And as the disciples approached our Lord and Savior, the Lord said to them, are you also going to walk away? And Peter said, Lord, where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, not the works of eternal life, and not the entertainment of eternal life, and not the flopping about with glory like a fish of eternal life, and not the laughing like a hyena of eternal life. He said the words of eternal life. But more importantly than that, he made a great promise. He said, not one jot or tittle shall pass from my word until all things have been fulfilled. And FYI, all things in the Bible take us not just to the end of time, but into the endless ages of eternity. Mm-hmm. It's important. And it is the word of God that has been saving souls for 2,000 years. The full counsel of God's word, not these scrapbook pictures, these patchwork quilts of the bits of God's word that people like and cutting out the bits that they don't like. The full counsel of God's word is what makes a real Christian. Jesus said, I can preserve God's word in its entirety. In fact, I remember, I think maybe it was Dave Hunt many years ago, He was a researcher of many years gone by, since gone on to glory. He stated that if every single copy of the King James Bible suddenly disappeared off of the face of the earth, there would still be enough of it recorded in secular works to completely reconstitute the King James Bible. It is quoted, quoted in so many other publications, in so many parts of it, that you could put it all together and have a full copy of the Bible. One way or the other, Jesus not only can preserve God's word, he did preserve God's word. He did it. And the reason he did it is because he loves us. Everything that we need, everything that we want is within God's power. Not everything, of course, that we want is good for us. But it's really a matter of asking according to God's will. Well, let me give you a few other examples, and I hope I'm not being too esoteric or too deep here this evening. It just really struck me, and this is the first time, having read this so many times, that this thought actually came to my mind. Is the Lord able to comfort his children? Yes. He is able to comfort his children. Does he want to comfort his children? Of course. Not only does he want to, he does comfort his children, you and me. How many times, whenever grief grinds us into the ground, or loss, or whatever it is, just takes us and seems to put us in a neck lock, and we're choking or drowning under whatever is giving us this difficult time, that a verse of scripture is just all that we need to stoke us up and to fire us up and to get the wheels turning so that we can manage. What did the Lord say about temptation in 1 Corinthians? Was it 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He says, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, make a way whereby you can bear it and even escape it. And I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. With temptations, with griefs, with hardships, with persecutions, all of these things, God has provided a way for us to look past the now, the difficulties in the here and now, and fix our eyes on the beauty and the peace and the completeness of eternity. Is the Lord able to strengthen us? Of course he's able to strengthen us. But does he want to strengthen us? Of course he does. Is he able to protect us? Goodness, how many times in the book of Psalms is the Lord called a high tower, a shield, a buckler? Of course he is able to protect us, and he will protect us if we go to him. Is the Lord able to guide us? Of course he is. All that you have to do is forget Google Maps. Get to the Word of God. That's God Maps, or basic instructions before leaving Earth, I heard a famous man once say, not that very long ago. Is the Lord able to give us a purpose? Of course he is. Does he want to give us a purpose?
Yes.
Will he give us a purpose? Of course he will. He doesn't want us floundering in this world. He doesn't want us walking around aimlessly squandering the lives and the time and the money and the vitality and the strength that we have. And he knows that's what each one of us needs. It's a great purpose. Is he able to inspire us? Of course he is. How many people have left the shores of Great Britain or in years gone by and now in every Christian land, how many souls have left those shores forever? Even though with a few hundred pounds or a few hundred dollars they could be back home, but how many have left their shores to spread the gospel to whosoever will? Does he want to inspire us? He does. Will he inspire us? He will, if we let him. Will he give us our daily bread? Does he want to give us our daily bread? Of course, he has the spiritual equivalent of a bread truck parked outside each one of our houses each and every day. This good old word. All we got to do is accept it. Will he inspire us? Of course he will. He wants to. We need him to give us, our daily bread. And that our daily bread is our comfort, our strength, or his wisdom, inspiration, a nudge in the right direction. Does he want to renew us every day? Can he renew us every day? The answer to both of those questions is yes. I don't know about you, and I'm not talking about living for the floor show, like so many people do, unless there's someone raised from the dead or someone who came in on crutches is sprinting up and down the church aisle. We don't live for that, because we know the old devil is up to his shenanigans. But does the Lord want to do, let me put it another way, can the Lord do miracles still?
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you something, friends. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not saying we live for miracles and we want miracles, but as you go about in a close, if I'm over here from Colin, which I am right now, I better put my, those glasses are no good. I can see Colin, I can make out his features, and I can sort of guess what he's wearing, but it's sort of hard to converse because I'm having to raise my voice and to shout, and conversation's difficult, and it's difficult to have a one-on-one conversation. But if I move closer and closer to Colin, he's easier to see, he's easier to listen to, it becomes easier to relate to him. And it's the same with God. And the closer that you walk with God, the more of God you're going to see. And the closer I walk with Colin, the more of Colin I'm going to see, and likewise, the more he's going to see of me. And we will see miracles. You will see God's finger on your life, God's hand in the lives of those that are around about you, things that just happen to work out, deals that just happen to be in the shop on the day that you're passing, and you say, thank you, Lord, I'm glad it tithe, and thank you for making up the difference, and so on. God is still in the miracle business. The sad thing about it is, we are normally, and I'm not speaking about anybody specifically, but we as a creature are normally so far away from God, we never see these things happening. Does he want to work in our lives? Of course he wants to work in our lives. And he's more than capable of working in our lives. All these things, and of course he's capable of and able for each and every one of them. But is he willing? Strangely, he is. And it's not because we deserve it. We certainly do not deserve the blessings of God and the miracles of God and the help of God, the comfort, strength, protection, guidance, wisdom, all of the things. We don't deserve them. But he gives us those because he loves us. And he saves us. And he turns us into a new creature whenever we trust him. And most importantly, we need each and every one of them. These are not blessings that come sporadically to people that are lifted high up on pedestals, as a preacher once said, who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly use whatsoever. These are qualities, these are gifts that each and every child of the King of Kings needs. I don't know if you need them all daily, but you're going to need them somewhere in your life. And can God give us them? Of course he can give us them. Does he want to give us them? Yes. He loves you and he loves me. And he loves each and every person in this world exactly the same. And as we choose to walk with him and talk with him, these become available. He doesn't force us. He doesn't grab you by the lapel and says, you are going to take some wisdom whether you want it or not. And we cry, but Lord, I want to be stupid. I want to be dumb. I want to be a walkover for the world, the flesh and the devil. You'd have to be out of your mind. God is able and willing. Most times the problem's on our side. Many times these gifts, the pathway to these gifts, is found in the Word of God. And where most Christians fall flat on their faces is in their ignorance. One of the Old Testament prophets said, there is a famine in the land, not of food, but of the hearing of the Word of God.
That's
right. And this is where the power is to be found. This is where the salvation is to be found. And God is able and more than willing to deliver those to us as and when we need them. The problem comes on the other side. Our side. God's perfect. God is light, and in him's no darkness at all. And we're imperfect. We don't see rights and wrongs. We see shades of grey. We see a slippy sliding scale of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. If 20 or 30 years ago, if you had said to little girls and women, hey, in 20 or 30 years, women are going to be running around in their underwear, you would say, yeah, I'd like to hire that PR guy for my company. But here we are. The slippy sliding scale has ended up with people running around, in most cases, in their underwear and thinking it's perfectly acceptable. Friends, our Savior is a wonderful, loving, powerful, all-knowing God. And he can and will do these things for us. But the leper had to do one thing. Let's have a quick look at that. First five words, there came a leper. The leper actually had to go to Jesus. Word had gotten about of all the things that Jesus had done. What he'd done, cast out demons, healed the sick, the blind, the lame, the maimed. He hadn't quite at this time raised the dead, but he'd done just about everything else. Goodness, they were bringing everybody with anything wrong to them and praying them, Lord, will you heal them? And he said, of course, I am more than able and I am willing. We need to come to him. We need to be willing to have this in our lives. And this is where we're so easily defeated. Because immediately we think of our comforts disappearing. Immediately we are thinking of opportunities to make money disappearing. This is the old man hard at work, and whether you're saved or not, the old man is still there. It's just that whenever you're saved, you have the choice of whether you listen to the old man or whether you listen to the new man. And many times, what's the least verse of scripture that says, many are called and few are chosen. The Bible says the Lord calls all men everywhere to repentance, but so many reject him and refuse him, and only a few say, Lord, I can and I will serve you. Because let's be honest, we're all different. We're all different talents, different abilities, different stages of life. And some have lived full lives and done lots of, I was going to say wonderful things, but for wonderful put in stupid and foolish and hurtful. We've all been there. I used to jump off a wall that was about the height of the top of one of those windows onto concrete. And every time I pray, Lord, what about my knees? He'll say, did you not used to jump off at like an 8 or 9 foot wall onto concrete and wonder why your knees were sore whenever you were 9 and 10 and 11? That's on you. What are we able to do? If you can walk, if your arms work, you can put a leaflet in the door. You're able to do that. Let's think technically. You know that term, technically? Technically, we, most of us that are able to walk to a person and give them the gospel. Now, I was in here earlier on, and this, it was a test earlier on, and I heard people's voices being used. Am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them's still working. Two, I saw your lips moving, yeah. And it wasn't a case of, but I hear no sound. I saw your lips move, and I heard him names being called out. I heard a bit of banter going back and forth. Steve got a lot of sympathy and a little bit of a stick.
You mean a lot of stick and a lot of stick?
I know you're there. Goodness.
Yes, sir.
Just put some of those words in the bag and keep them for later or pass them on to somebody. Yeah. I know your voices work, so technically you are able to speak the words of eternal life to people you come across. Is that true?
True.
True. The next question is the same question the leper. The leper asked the Lord, "Wilt thou?" And that is the question. You can, but will you? I don't like talking about money. As you well know, people get a bit queer about money. Do you have money? And again, I'm not asking for more money, and this is a technical question. No. Do you have money?
No.
The answer is yes. Don't you sit down there and say no. Can you put some money in the plate? No. Can you? Can you put your tithe in the plate? And the answer is, technically, I can put my tithe in the plate. The next question is, will you put your tithe in the plate? And people start thinking, well, you know, technically I could, but I have to go out this Friday night, and I have to buy a new suit, and I have to pay the electricity bill, I'm taking a drive up to Belfast, and that's 30 or 40 pounds in diesel. So, yeah, technically I could, but really it's going to get in the way of me having a good time. And when you realise you're saying that to God, and God's just standing with his hands on his hips and he's rolling his eyes like mums and dads do and have done in the past and will do until kids stop being born, it comes down to us. When the Lord says that did anybody see the latest on the internet about that little girl that was mentioned earlier on today, that 12-year-old girl? We read about it. We heard about it. We saw it. And some of those things are heartbreaking. A wee girl that should have been getting excited about, at the risk of being a hypocrite, seeing what Santa was going to bring her in 1 month's time. She should have been writing her list out and pestering her mum and her dad. Dad, I've seen this thing on TV. I think parents ought to turn their TVs off at the start of December. Because I remember one of my nephews changed his mind 3 times in the run up to Christmas. And his mum quit getting things because she bought the first thing he wanted. And then he changed his mind to something else. And she just, anyway. That's what that little girl should have been doing. We read about that and watched it, didn't we? And our hearts broke for that. For that family, for that wee girl, for that ended potential, for that life just squandered because a bunch of wee fellas happened to steal mummy's or daddy's kitchen knife and went out and just took her life like it was nothing. Threw her away like a used piece of chewing gum. We read about that and we heard about that. And we have allowed our hearts to be touched by that, so much so, in fact, she has now become an entry on our prayer list. Can you read the Word of God? Can you read the Word of God, understanding that it was not written to the world and it wasn't written to the Jews, it was written to you and to me? That was the thing that really changed my life. As you do, I was in the bathroom one day reading in university, and it just struck me. It was like God said, "This is me speaking to you." And that changed my view of the Bible forever. We can allow ourselves to read things on the internet and be touched and swayed in so many ways, but will we read the Word of God and allow it to speak to our hearts? That's the crux of the matter. We are capable. We are able to do so much. But will we? Will we is always the answer. If thou wilt, the leper said, if it's your desire, you are capable of making me whole. The only question mark was the desire. The leper knew the ability was there. And Jesus said, it is my desire to make you whole. Just like it's his desire to make each one of us whole. And that means with all of the things that the Bible has for his children. But is it our desire to be made whole? And to go and do the things that he asks us to do with what he gives us? One of the things, when I worked in Desmond's, they used to go and send me to work in different departments. "Mark, we need you to work in the warehouse for a month." And I thought, what? And not only that, but we still need you to process the orders on a Sunday night. I thought, right? So I'm doing like a job and a half every week. And you'll have to cover the day that you don't be in work recovering in the warehouse, recovering from the work that you did on the Sunday afternoon and the Sunday night. Okay. And that was fine. I got it done. It was certainly an education. And then year or two down the line, they said, "We need you to make these changes." And so I went back to talk to all of my old colleagues down in the warehouse and said, "We need to make all these changes." I didn't say it like that. But the same, this was their reply. Did you ever see that deer in the headlights, that look that people have when they feel the foundations of their life start to shake and they don't know which way they're going to go? "This will be better for you, but we like it the way it is. You will have less work to do, but we still like it the way it is. There'll be fewer keystrokes, but we like it the way it is." In the end of it all, it was a case of, this is the way it's going. You might as well get used to it. That's us. That's in us, to like things the way they are. Even though, with a little bit of help from on high, things could be so much better. I think one of the reasons why so many people watch so many adventure films and do these dangerous sports is because they have never experienced contending for a lost soul and don't realize the very real battle that there goes on in a lost soul's mind and in our own whenever we stick our head above the parapet and start shooting back at the enemy. And if you did that, if you gave God a chance and said, "I will, I can, and I will," you would be coming home thinking, "That was amazing. That was better than any film. That was better than jumping out of an airplane. That was better than driving down the road at 100 miles an hour with one eye closed and no foot in the brake, one hand on the steering wheel." You would find that desire for excitement installs. Oh, but you would sleep peacefully in your bed at night knowing that you took a step closer to God, that you saw him work in your life and somebody else's life. It is just a completing of the Christian soul. We need it. We're made for it. But it's all down to us. The Lord made you able, but he leaves the willing part to you and me. I want to leave that with you for this evening. And thank you for your time. God bless you. I think it's 209, Pat, wasn't it? What was the one that you picked?
Sunshine of the Soul.
That's it. Thank you, Will.
Sunshine of the Soul, right?
Yes.
Amen. If you're fit, we'll stand and sing. If not, please remain seated, but make a joyful noise if you can. Especially as things change very, very quickly in this world today. He's the only thing that will never let you down and never lie to you. Amen. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. And please, Lord, don't forget our private prayer requests and petitions. Lord, please continue to watch over Israel. Be with William's mom as she goes to hospital. Tuesday, I think it is, and with whatever the doctors find today, I pray for wisdom and a solution there. Please work on hearts and minds, Lord, and save souls, even as they wind up for an orgy of spending and drinking and eating. Lord, we love you and thank you, and we pray for our loved ones that don't yet know you, and for our brothers and sisters in Christ that do. Lord, please work in our lives. We ask all this, Lord, for safe travels, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you.